Welcome to The Move Fam. I'm JB Hager, along with Ali Tatrick and Mari Holden. And we're going to take a look at the Tour of Flanders Fam. Big day, exciting race, amazing race. Let's start out with the big story, and that is Lada Kopecky winning it 2 years in a row. And, you know, and I assume most people that tune into the show know a lot about the sport. I mean, to repeat in this sport on courses like that, so many stars have to align outside of your fitness level. So what an amazing thing. And I'll let you guys elaborate more on it. A hometown victory, which is just in bike racing, that's always a big deal.
Right. So our tagline is a Flangerian wins Flanders. So Lada Kopecky grew up just only 2 hours away from where it starts, right there in the heart of Flanders. So you have to know that she has studied those roads since she was little and racing. And we heard it in the interview. She said, everybody on the internet, I think she was reading Mari and I's tweets, I'm pretty sure, gave me 5 stars to win. So she's like, yeah, the pressure was big, but she did it.
And I mean, I think there can't be enough said about being a Belgian winning, you know, Flanders. That's a huge thing. I mean, she's a hero in Belgium. It's just, I don't know, it's like winning the Super Bowl here or something. So huge deal.
She'll never pay for a drink in Belgium never. For the rest of her life.
No.
I should have been Belgian and won Tour of Flanders.
And,
is that what it would have taken to motivate you to win Flanders, Ellie?
Pretty much.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, you both had picked her, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was thinking Mari and I probably need to go on the outcomes because we are batting like, I don't know what the term is, but 100% on who we pick to win races. And Mari and I were going to arm wrestle for it, but we both had to call a truce because we knew Kopecky was going to win. And Kopecky knew she was going to win, barring, you know, disaster, which there was some disaster on course. But she went out there. She won it last year in the Belgian national jersey, which was a huge deal. She does the post-race interview and they give her the microphone. She's a woman of not many words, but her legs are much more powerful. And we know she's been through a hard time the last couple of weeks, losing her brother, who was only 29 years old, who motivated her to get into the sport. She's still riding with two people and be up there, be confident. And it's a fun podium switch. So Kopecky wins and her teammate, Dami Vollering, who we saw that sprint at Strade Bianche, that 1-2 punch for SD Works just did a little flip flop.
Yeah. While you bring up Dami Vollering, I want you guys to elaborate on a lot of our listeners who haven't been in team race dynamics. Like, she did a textbook job of disrupting the chase. And there's a real art to that. Like, as an amateur racer, that was like one of the only things I was good at. Was like, I'd have a teammate up in the break and you just kind of, you're just there. Just your presence drives everyone crazy. It's just a disruption. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the fact that she was there and could cover anything is just a huge intimidation factor. You know, she could have been in the break, but clearly the timing of the crash on the climb, she didn't make it. So then she can be in the next group just monitoring things. And anyone who tries anything knows that they are going to have to do exponentially more work and they're going to be wasting their bullets out there. So yeah, it's her being there intimidates everybody.
And I thought she did, Mari, when you're watching it, I thought she did it very relatively elegant. She just sat second wheel. Like, she didn't block. She didn't do anything crazy. And SD Works had the numbers all day. And Dami just sat there second wheel. They're like flicking. They're like, shoot, she's still there. I'm like, somebody else can come around. You could see the frustration, but it wasn't her fault. She's just like, I'm sitting here following a wheel. I'm having a great day.
Yeah. I mean, she was making it look easy. And that's part of the intimidation factor is that if you have somebody sitting there making it look easy to cover every move you're making and you're working twice as hard to try and make that move, you have to question what you're doing. So it's more a frustration. And when people start getting irritated and upset, you know, their fight starts to come out of them, except for Elisa.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about that. But Damie also wasn't alone. You had Rooster in there too, who made the initial selection. So the big selection of the race happened not early on, but it's the one of the penultimate climbs, which is the Koppenberg, which means Head's Mountain. And I found this fun fact. Head's Mountain is actually a Dutch slang language, and it's called the Kinderkoppen, which is children's heads, because the cobbles are so, and it's a very steep climb. It maxes over 22%. It's only 0.6K long. So not that long, but it's so steep and it happened to be wet. And that's where the main selection happened. And the only two riders that cleared the Koppenberg were Marlene Brewster, which we know you don't want to give her any time, and Prosecco. I'm going to call her Prosecco. I'm sorry. I think it might be Prosecco, but she's Italian. Prosecco. I mean, come on. But they're the only two riders, and there was some dabbing going on. So there's a huge selection going up this climb. And it was, how far away was that from the finish, Mari? Like 30 some K?
Yeah, somewhere right around there. But it was just, I mean, watching it happen, I think the thing that you try and get across is everyone knows that they need to be near the front at that point in the race when they hit the climb. And so you already know when it's spread out coming into it, and you've already got the people who are feeling good up there near the front. And then you see them struggling the way they were and sliding on the cobbles. I mean, it was pretty wild the way Marlon and Prosecco came out of there.
Cheers to that.
And then when you see Lotta coming out of her, you know, pedals and stuff, I was like, oh God, she's running. And then you're wondering, is it just going to be the two of them riding off? But then, you know, Lotta just brings them right back. And then, you know, it was just crazy.
And for those who didn't see the Koppenberg, you know, those two riders you mentioned were ready and in the front because there's the race to the cobbles, right? Mm-hmm. And they were able to ride through it. And it just takes, well, the roads are so narrow. It just takes a couple people getting the slip of the back wheel on the wet cobbles. And it just boom, 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 stopped everyone. Everyone had to get off the bike from those two riders back. And maybe you guys can elaborate on what that's like for a racer to get one to stop that momentum, but then you have to get going again on wet cobbles. Like, it just, you panic and you just, it's hard to get going, and your best bet is just to run to the top.
Yeah, the ones who didn't panic, like Lotta, was able to get back on because she didn't panic and she was at the front. But the people who got stuck behind it, you're just having to wait for the person in front of you to get going again, especially when it's narrow like that. And I mean, cyclists and running.
And it's slippery. Right.
Things.
Yeah, the shoes are not
slippery.
Not built for running.
I saw women trying to get up and slip and slide, and it's not their fault because the slip was actually, I believe, from Leanne Lippert, and she's top four, top five over the top, and it's not her fault either. It just was really wet towards the top, and it's at 22%. So her wheel goes out, and then you can imagine you have 80 women behind you, and it's just domino effects. Like, you can't, everyone's got to unclip and right, regroup. So of only, yeah, like I said, only two riders cleared the very top, and it's by no fault of the ability to climb steep, wet climbs, but there's just a little, everyone's just caged in this tiny little road, and you're fighting for your position over the top. But that was a huge move there. And so then you had a break go over the top that included Capecchi, Silvia Prosecco, and
Weebs.
No, we had a, not yet, right? Weebs had a bridge up, didn't she?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. She bridged up though, but she was in that group before.
Yeah. And Russo. Mm-hmm.
And Russo.
Russo, sorry.
Three on one.
Russo looked amazing climbing that thing, by the way. Oh. She made it look like easy. And the rest, I mean, when you could see the carnage going on behind her and she's just riding, it was pretty impressive.
And I did see her kind of sit up and look back because she's Capecchi catches and she's with Prosecco, and they're kind of like, do we ride or do we wait for the rest of the team? Cause their team is so strong. They're all right there. And they chose to ride, which I think I could see them in the radio going, do we ride? Do we not? Obviously Sylvia does not pull through. Why would you with two SD works? She's on it.
Well, they had three in the break. So you could imagine they were going to roll through, but the, you know, I think it was just that Vollering wasn't there, but you know, it was crazy. I mean, to have that many people in the break going over that thing is insane.
Yeah. So they rolled that for a bit. And there's chase groups happening, and you know, there's numbers too. If you have three SD works in a chase group, that's not going to bring back their two friends / teammates, right? And so people are frustrated because the groups weren't cohesive, and they're sitting though only at 18, 19 seconds. It wasn't a huge gap. You could see it. You're like, I think this is it, but is it?
Yeah, that was pretty wild timing. You know, I mean, it stayed that way for, you know, a lot of kilometers, and Persico was basically sitting on, although she did a token pull every once in a while, but yeah, for the most part, nothing.
When it went down, when it went from three SD works down to two, this is where your expertise comes in. I was wondering, there's always hindsight in bike racing. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? Do you think Persico was going, if I had just helped them, the three of us could have gotten away, got more than 20 seconds, and I'd have had a podium. She ended up in fourth, by the way. Or that's just, I mean, that, but that's textbook, right? When there's two or more of them, they do the work.
Yeah. I mean, and she basically did pull through maybe a couple times. She didn't do it very often, you know, but she took a couple pulls. And then when it got down to the two of them, she tried to work, but it was clear that Capecchi was the stronger of the two. So she made the right decision not to work, really, because Capecchi was clearly stronger than her. When they had Marlon there too, you just don't know, you know, what could happen.
This is something Mari has taught me in racing, and in my, when blood goes my brain, I'm not as smart as I am when I'm just sitting here, but you know, there's something, you know, that a team director like Mari, I assume, would tell me, I know you have, but there's nothing worse than getting dropped from a break. So if your team, which granted Prosecco didn't have a huge team behind her at that point, but you don't want to go all in to be a superhero in a break and get dropped from it. Mm. And you could get chastised for not working and not make friends necessarily, but you're not going to do anything for yourself or your team if you get dropped either. So there, you have to be smart in how you conserve energy, play a little game, act like you're suffering, pull through harder, but like only maybe a little bit, just to make sure that you're monitoring your efforts to make a successful finish for you and your team. And the radio will tell
really,
you
too. Yeah, that's very important. And that's the opposite of what I was suggesting, because it's easy to let your ego get in the way, right? I'm in a break. I'm going to get a podium likely. And you just have to just settle down and just, yeah. And if you do get yelled at, so what? I don't think people realize how much, criticism there is within breakaways, right? You're not working, you're not doing this. And it's not personal. You know, you just have to let it go.
People want to intimidate you off your game, kind of.
Yeah.
But, or make you do something that you shouldn't do. So, you know, I read some of the comments afterwards, and, you know, it's definitely sticking to your game plan and trying to figure it out. But yeah, I think in that situation, when it's become like you're there because of attrition, essentially, and you're not sure where you are, taking a pull through to keep things motivated and rolling so that they don't start just attacking you early. is not a bad idea, which she did. And then when it got down to two, she worked a little harder, but she never was pulling harder than Capecchi, obviously. And she got dropped, but was still able to try to sprint in the field. So it didn't work out for her, but
it was on the final climb, the Paterberg, and Capecchi just motors away. Sylvia has a little slip out in her wheel, but Capecchi obviously had the most power today than any other rider. She made those cobbles look like just the most brilliant tarmac you've ever seen.
Oh yeah. When she was solo going up that last set of cobbles, it looked effortless.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing, when someone has power and they're able to turn over the gear on those, and like Marlon did on the first climb, and then, or not the first climb, but on the Koppenberg, and then, you know, Capecchi had, they can roll it. Whereas when you don't have that same power and you start slipping more, and you could see it happening with Persecco. And, you know, when you're in a break like that, she probably could feel it and sense it, that she wasn't as strong as Capecchi was in that break. And so she had to do what she could to stay there, I think.
I thought she wrote as smart as she could.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly too, she has Bastinelli in the back, which is in the chase group initially. And she's won Flanders before, her teammate, and is a world champion as well. So, and she was staying within her limits. Mm-hmm. I thought she rode as well as she could. And Capecchi was the strongest rider of the day, hands down. If I had a boomstick, I'm slamming it down on the table for Capecchi because she's that good. And this is a race that suits her well, like we said. And then the interesting part is there's the thing with Flanders, it has a lot of attrition, right? The groups, like there's chase groups, they come back together, they split up, and there's a constant just back and forth. Who has teammates, who doesn't? SD Works had the numbers all day. Trek had the second highest numbers. And so you're coming down, and I'm pretty confident, barring misfortune, Capecchi wins. Mm-hmm. And she still didn't believe it, but I'm watching the thing. I'm like, no one's going to get her. Right. And the funny part is this chase group was going from like 3 to 4 to 5 to 4 to 6, you know, all these riders that Mari and I had talked about last week were all in that group, basically, give or take a few hitters. And Marlon was very tired from her efforts pulling, and she was fading on the climbs, catching him on the descents. And it was about, I think, 8K to go. And Marlon was off the back still with the French rider, LeBose, Juliette LeBose. And they were kind of, they're just like dangling, coming back, and then they'd get hard, you know. And she comes back, 8K to go. And now it's 2 SD Works in this group of 5 or so. And she comes back, and I swear this woman has never slowed down a group, right? She's like, when she gets there, the group speeds up. And she gets there, and it was like, wah, wah, buzz kill. They all look, and they see Rooster show up. Davey looks back, and the whole group, they lost 10 seconds instantly. And I think this woman's like, I've never gone to a party / bike race party and made things go slower. And then it was like chase over, you know what I mean? Like they were like, they're 46 seconds back from Lada. You have Damie, and then Rooster just doesn't quit, comes back. And all those women look back, and they're just like,
But that's what we were talking about earlier, how like Vollering's presence made it so the others were, you know, getting not irritated, but, you know, it messes with your mind when you start, when you've been going so hard and then all of a sudden the numbers are getting worse for you. And you know that anything you do is going to get caught or brought back, and you don't want to waste any more energy. And you can see it that they're just deflated after that amount of time. Everyone except for Longo Borghini, who was like willing to go the whole day, like giving it everything she had, which was, I thought, so impressive. I thought her ride was one of the, you know, besides Capecchi and the dominance of SD Works, her ride was super impressive coming back from COVID and everything. And, you know, just going out there and giving it 100%, 110%.
This is just Elisa Longo Borghini, my Lamborghini. Like, this is why I love the way she races. She's so feisty. Like, she's just like one of, you just don't want to make her mad. She has all the fight and probably no bark because she's the nicest person. You see her on the podium. She's like throwing her flowers. She couldn't even throw them. Like, she tried 3 times. She's the only one that took her champagne with her off the podium. I mean, this girl is amazing, but she's Italian. What can you expect? But
is that a no-no, taking the champagne with you? Well,
it was really funny. Like, I always take the champagne, share with my mechanic or my teammates, but the other women left their champagne, and she's like prancing off the podium, holding her champagne. She got 3rd, spoiler killer, but, And then she looks at the like monitor on the podium. She's like, oh, can I take this? She's like, puts it back. They're like, no, just take it. She's like, yeah. And she's like rallying the crowd and all that. But she did just come back from COVID. Like Mari said, Trek had a lot of good numbers today. Like, they were very consistent. I think they had some bad luck. And you could tell she's coming back from COVID. This is her first race. You could tell she didn't quite have that top end, and she was fading a bit. But once she comes back to the group, she doesn't sit in or rotate. Every time she came back, she went straight through them and just attacked.
And well, then the interesting thing, I mean, you know, she was out there working for her young teammate, you know, because she thought that I'm just coming back from COVID. I'm not near where I should be. And then she's working all day, just like killing herself for her teammate. And you could see it. She was on the front practically whenever she was in the group, she was on the front, essentially, like just trying to either bring something back or attacking. And so it was just so cool to see her just going out there with all this fight like that, you know. And then
did you see, though, the tables turn about 5K to go? Sharon and Drewy was on the front, and mm-hmm. everyone on the internet's like, why is she on the front? And I'm like, cause Lamborghini can sprint like out of this mm-hmm. group. I mean, she can podium. So Alisa was just sitting on the back for Alisa last 5K. Yeah. And Sharon was, who just won Binda, was on the front. So the tables did turn on the team dynamics.
Yeah. I mean, she mentioned that Ina had come on the radio with 5K to go and it's all back together, and that the plan was switching to a sprint, which you could, like you're saying, we could see that on the TV, but it was just, you know, that mindset to change from, I've been working all day at Flanders in front, you know, and then all of a sudden to change gears and, you know, be the person that who's going to be sprinting doesn't give you much time to like regroup and then do it. And she went for it.
Well, it was unfortunate to see Annemiek van Vleuten crash. It looked like she, you know, kind of, it looked like the road just dropped off on the edge and she kind of took herself out and a couple other riders. Would mm-hmm. she have been a factor had that not happened? I mean, you can always guess in cycling, but.
I mean, I feel like whenever Annemiek's in a race, if she's feeling good and she's in a good position physically, she probably would have been there. But it's the classics and you have all these different things going on. And if you have, you know, one mistake like that, all of a sudden you're chasing and wasting all your energy coming from behind. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Yeah. It's really, it would have been nice to see her have a good race and go out there fighting like that. But
did I catch it right? Is this her last season? Mm-hmm. As a pro, like she's retiring. So she said, you never know. You never know. Like, you know, if you end on a high note, mm-hmm. you know, I think all cyclists feel like they got another one in them, but I think I heard them say that this is likely her last season or planning mm-hmm. for the moment for this to be her last season.
I think it will be. She's pretty confident that it will.
And then in the pre-show, the classics preview, you guys talked about Marianne Vos. She was back in the Peloton mm-hmm. That takes a while. You got to race a while to get your form back, correct?
I mean, 15th at Flanders is not a terrible result unless you're Marianne Vos and you think, you know, you've won it before and stuff. So, I mean, I feel like she's riding well, but not to her level. But, you know, she still had a decent ride today. I mean, we didn't see her much, you know, but I was glad to see her being able to race that hard. You know, it shows it's good indication that her injury's getting better.
And she did get a third place at, I am going to pronounce it wrong this week. Dwarves, you know what I'm talking about?
Dwarves. Let's just leave it at that.
Dwarves Vlaanderen.
Yes, that.
She did. She got third at that. Okay. I didn't catch that race. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's coming back, but I mean, Flanders is special in its own right and does require a bit of luck. I mean, there's just a lot of chaos that occurs. So there was an early break of note, the first mm-hmm. like substantial break. Allie Walston, a 22-year-old Kiwi national champion. She races for AG Insurance Sodal Quickstep. We had looked at her a little bit in the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift, but she crashed in stage two, injured her wrists and had to like pull out of the Commonwealth Games, but she's a part-time law student and she had the longest substantial break of the day. So I'm sure she got most aggressive rider, well-deserved. And I think we're going to see some good things. So I just wanted to flag Allie Walston from New Zealand.
And I'd like to say that the DSM, the girls like Megan and her team rode really well in the first part of the race, you know, controlling things. And they're so young, being out there and racing at the front of the race like that was, I thought, impressive, even though it didn't play out the way I'm sure they would have liked in the end. It, you know, they were riding up there and they were a presence for the first like over half of the race.
Yeah. And then you have Juliet Labosse, what we were talking mm-hmm. about, a former French national champion. She actually got fourth overall at the Tour de France Femme last year. Mm-hmm. So she was in that second chase group. So we're looking at good form for a rider from that team. I was impressed watching her. I don't think Flanders suits her as well as the Tour de France Femme. So, mm-hmm. and she will do well in Flesh and Liège. I think, I was very impressed with her.
Well, that team is young and they were riding well as a group. I felt like in the first half, they were definitely up there making sure things were in control.
Speaking of that, though, I did hear a stat today that 44% of the peloton is less than 30, but only 44% is less than 30. So you have all these young teams, but we have some some riders that, yes, are getting ready to retire, but also shows the longevity of women's cycling. I should probably make a comeback.
Well, at least we know what motivates you now. So if you decide to go planners.
I'm glad that guys, that made you laugh. That's amazing. And I thought it was interesting too, to look at these world tour teams. There's obviously a lot of world tour teams, but the big like powerhouses, and Mari and I were talking about some of the winners and losers. Obviously SD Works was the biggest winners today, are the biggest winners today. I don't think Trek did bad. They played well with their numbers. They were dealing with good numbers, good team dynamics. I know third place isn't what they wanted, but I thought had a good race. But then you have some missouts. You know, like Movistar's not even the break. You know, EF's not there. FDJ, Jayco, like Bike Exchange, like former Bike Exchange team. But Jumbo, they had Anna Henderson, which Mari and I have as a wild card for some of these classics. She was in the break, did get gapped. She still finished in front of the big chase group. But there are some teams that definitely missed out today. But you know that they're just going to get stronger and looking for better ways to win or be in the mix. Jumbo Visma has not won a race yet this year.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then the pressure, the heat comes, like all that pressure to get a victory.
Well, you know, I mean, with Marianne getting better, it's going to happen, but it's not letting that frustration get the most of you. I think, you know, it's kind of the hardest thing is keeping your attitude when things aren't going right. So hopefully they just stay mentally like on target. I'm sure they are, but yeah, it'll be nice to see them on the podium and winning again.
Well, you guys know better than I do the differences between Flanders and Roubaix, and weather may be a factor, but what's your crystal ball tell you after what you saw today?
Oh God.
Put us on the outcomes. We're really good at this.
I mean, from the way they were pedaling, I would say Capecchi and Marlin are the two who I would be looking at again. They're so strong and smooth. It's just, you know, I feel like they're on a different level.
I heard Rooster is not doing Paris-Roubaix, but I'd be interested to see if that gets flipped. Wow. Because I'm like, why wouldn't you put that woman in Paris-Roubaix? Like, never have her sign up for Unbound, please.
Well,
like,
not when you see her going at the Koppenberg and everyone else is coming off their bikes, you know.
But right now she's not on the start list because that's who I was going to pick. Mm-hmm. But I think Elisa Longo-Borghini is a good another, because I think she'll be coming back from this. She's going to regain strength. My money's still on Capecchi, but being that watch and Paris-Roubaix has so many what ifs. There's just carnage everywhere. You can't plan. But it's going to be up to other teams to combat this freight train that's SD Works at this moment. But they have the riders. They just need the support and a fair bit of luck.
One of the things I was going to ask you guys, I don't know that the history of Flanders with women, a lot of the races, they do them the day before. I love seeing it on the same day. And I'll mention this. I was watching it on GCN. They did an incredible job of saying, you know, when this ends, tune over to this, you know, or if you want to go watch that now, the cross promotion was great. So the same day thing, I think, works much better to grow women's cycling. Is that how it's been done historically?
I've only raced Flanders with the men on the same day. And I think at least in the last 5 years, that's 6-7 years. I don't know. I'm aging myself.
That's been how they do it.
Yeah. I mean, it makes the Koppenberg the best climb. I mean, not the Koppenberg. Koppenberg has just been in Flanders for the women's side of things. This is its second year in Flanders. Flanders has been going on for women for 10 years. The first winner is Mari and I's mutual friend, colleague, and my team director, which is Zulfia Zabinskaya. I didn't know she won the
Zabarova, right?
Yeah, I call her. Yeah, well, oh, yeah.
You like to tweak everyone's names, don't you, Allie?
I have nicknames in my head. Sorry, Zabarova.
That's right.
But she won the first edition in 2004. Since then, the race went from 94K to now we're almost to 160K. Equal prize money for the men and women, but they add in the Koppenberg the last couple of years. But what I was going to say is my favorite favorite climb there is the Caramont, because that's where the Cormont. Sorry. See, there I go again. Cormont. But that's where the VIP tents are. And everyone's like all warm. You just smell like there's so many frites and brats, and you just walls of fans, and it's the best. And also they did the podium with the men and women's podium, which they do at a lot of these races when you hold them concurrently, like Flesh Wallonne, Flanders, Yant Wevelgem. So the crowds stay around, they've been drinking, they're having fun. There's dance parties. This is a huge festival, like for hours, like they are still awake right now, not the riders, the fans. But I just think it's so fun because it also is more bang for your buck. If you're a spectator, you right. can watch multiple races, they go up these climbs multiple times, and you have like a fun festival to celebrate the sport and the day and your countryside. I think it's very important.
I think it's great for women's cycling. Especially because in this situation, you're going to get the, you know, all the streaming podcasts and these kinds of things right after that kind of go hand in hand with the men's shows. It's just anytime you can get women's racing in front of more people, it's going to be good for the sport.
And by the way, we're putting this one out before the men's coverage. So. Because you two are on time.
That's one thing about women.
Okay. On that note, we're going to wrap this up. Looking forward to the Roubaix coverage with both of you. Excellent job today. Great race. And it's always a pleasure talking to you both. You can write to us and any questions if you have for Ali, Mari, for future shows, send those to me if you like, themove@wedo.team. And enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
All right, go ride bikes.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.